Thank you so much for speaking with us today. Just to start, could you tell us, you know, who you are, where you work, and what you are currently working on?
Okay, hi, I'm Jean. So I currently work at the University of California, Irvine. So I'm a faculty member. Main affiliation is in physics, astronomy department. And also I have joint appointment with chemistry as with NSF Simon Center. Yeah, so we do research in computational biophysics. So many interested in protein machinery, their structure, their dynamics, their physical mechanism. And although main focus would be fundamental physical aspect, we also hope our research to be useful to biomedical research and application. Yeah.
Great. Could you speak a little bit more about your specific research paper and maybe, you know, why the topic is so important?
So for this paper, we studied this RNA polymerase from bacteriophage T7. So we actually use it as a model system. So bacteriophage is kind of a virus, in fact, a bacteria. It has a pretty simple protein machinery for their transcription. This polymerase have been widely used in lab condition. It doesn't need a transcription factor, so it can very well self-sufficiently run from initiation to elongation to termination. So it's a ideal model to study as a sort of the minimum model for transcription. So we studied it for its elongation, about how it translocates, how it controls its fidelity for recent years. For this particular study, we focus on the initiation. So it is the first step in the transcription process. So the polymerase want to recognize a DNA promoter so they can start a job to do transcribing the DNA templates information to RNA. So initiation is important that if the sequence is correctly recognized, then the polymerase will produce a transcription bubble to start the process. But actually a particular feature of this work resides on it uses information from direct evolution. So this lab direct evolution is a technology, experimental technology. They can actually cause a lot of mutations on the protein, and the protein have some desired feature, maybe among those mutants. But then they select those mutants carry on some specific property. If you wish to them to have, then you amplify that, then you get this direct mutant in the lab condition. So it is very cool in the sense that in nature, evolution takes so long, so many years to happen, but in lab conditions, it can happen very fast. So in this experimental data set we got from the previous published results, so they actually switch the promoter recognition of this T7 RNA polymerase from recognizing its original T7 DNA promoter to this T3 DNA promoter, which is actually useful for another phage system. So it is not originally intended for the T7 RNA polymerase. So its wild type doesn't really recognize this promoter. But by this lab direct evolution, they amplify a lot of mutations, and in the end, they can get some representative mutants, which we selected about six mutants. So these mutants are the proteins, RNA polymerase proteins, which carry some mutation on some amino acids. So they started with just one amino acid of mutation at the actually at the binding sites between the protein and DNA. And then they started have this second mutation, third, up to the sixth mutation. So from experimental data, they can find that with those mutants from 1-point mutant, 2-point mutant gradually. So the capability of this polymerase to recognize the T7 promoter just the weaken, and then in the middle, like 3-point mutant. So the polymerase can recognize both T7 and T3, but not very well. But in the end, they can recognize T3 promoter. So then we took those data. So the experiments themselves are very cool in the sense, but the mechanism is not showing. So you don't understand what happens there. So this is where computational tool can come into play. So we have this all-atom molecular dynamic simulation tool as sort of the computational microscope. So you can zoom into very detail of the system atom by atom. So you see what happened in their structure dynamics. So we basically simulate the system let each atom follow the Newton's equation. And of course the computer, supercomputer will deal with that once we have the software, we have the force field, we can run that. So so that's pretty much the framework. It's quite a lot already, right? At the introduction, okay.
Yeah, no, but it sounds like it's really gonna be an interesting outcome. Mm-hmm. Do you have any dream outcomes, or what is like the next phase, I guess, of this research, and how do you think it will be applied?
Yeah, so basically, you see, actually, we want to use this type of research to see if we can use computational power to find out what's the kind of mechanism this protein, like this polymer protein, they can recognize specific DNA sequence information there. So as I talk quite a bit, so it is a detouring story. So it is actually difficult in the beginning if you just straightforward look at those mechanisms, because computational microscope, as this all atomic simulation we use, they have limited time scale. So by looking at the particular mutation, if without a biologic context, it's hard to decipher. So that's motivates us to take experimental data. They already carry very interesting story there, because you know that they are products of the evolution pressure, even if it is not from nature, it is from the lab condition. So with this kind of a story there, so we know something interesting happened there. So in a sense, we have a detoured way to learn from nature, from the evolution itself. So it's a combination of the tool itself and the intention to learn from the experimental data that let us want to explore this. And we hope that by this way, it's sort of like data learning. But of course, we are not just learning just a large amount of raw data. We have selection, we have some story behind that. And then we learn from those mutants produced by the evolution experiments and try to decipher the story there. So right now the main story is we find this a protein, actually this polymerase protein prefer to recognize those DNA promoter which they have strong electrostatic interaction with. So without this research, it was not quite clear. So people may think about that protein binding stability is important, but technically speaking, it is related to some kind of free energy overall. But here our simulation shows just by the component of that, that is protein DNA, electrostatic interaction, we see that overall the polymers favor the promoters. They have strong electrostatic interaction. And with that, we can actually identify particular residue amino acids there, and also some structure elements, which we found is some auxiliary helix structure there. So they contribute a lot for the recognition and the switching. So you see that while this kind of tool, our purpose is try to figure out how those protein play their function, in particular in this polymerase function. In the beginning of this transcription, at the stage of recognition, how they recognize this promoter. So just get the inside story and potential application kind of promise. Yeah.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we should know about, you know, this paper or your research in general and what you're working on?
So actually, we are kind of very interested in the protein machinery in the central dogma of molecular biology. So that is those machinery work a function to manipulate the genome or epigenetic change. So we have studied the RNA polymerase, and more recently, we also studied transcription factor. So if we understand transcription as a process from the a lot of the protein factor as the enzyme, and altogether about also about the DNA supercoiling as some mechanical feedback from the DNA. So you can see in integrated perspective on the protein DNA, how they interact with each other, just will show some story about the secret in the central dogma. And we actually have a physics background. So this is type of biophysics research. We hope you can find interesting as well as useful.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Okay.